Namaste, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. This is Dr. David Frawley, Vamadeva Shastri, and our upcoming talk and discussion is an overall introduction to the Ayurvedic Astrology course. So the first thing I want to do is to put you in touch with the basis of the course and a little bit about its background and history. I've been a student of yoga and Vedic knowledge now for a good 50 years, and my introduction and study of Jyotish or Vedic astrology goes back almost that long, I think until at least about 1972, when I began studying the subject along with yoga, Vedanta, and also the Vedic philosophies, mantras, and even aspects of the Ayurveda. And I had long had an interest in astrology and astronomy from various angles. And this resulted in an effort to study and also to teach the Vedic astrology in the West at a time at which very few people knew anything about it. So I had some public classes and other things, and I decided then to create a kind of what was then called a correspondence course, now a distance learning course, on the Vedic astrology. The first version of which I introduced in 1985. And its purpose was basically that, to teach the essentials and background of Vedic astrology to Western students and people today. This course continued to develop, and in 1990, I brought out my first book on Vedic astrology called Astrology of the Seers, which was the second book published in the West on Vedic astrology in English, the first being that of James Braha. And it was also the first book published in the West by a publisher. Braha's book was self-published in that regard. So it was a very new book in the field. So what I did is I incorporated some of the material from the course into the book and also expanded the book through the course. And this course then was to teach people the basics of Vedic astrology, planets, signs, houses, aspects, how to read a chart, divisional charts, all the different factors of the Vedic astrology, aspects, nakshatras, as well as the philosophical and spiritual background. And this is how the course stayed, with some additions and development, for up until around 2005. In 1992, we began the first major Vedic astrology conferences in the West, and this began in 1993 with the founding of the American Council of Vedic Astrology, of which I was one of the initial main founders and the first president for the 10 years from 1993 to 2003 with my friend and colleague Dennis Harness as the executive vice president. We also included then various conferences and talks and studies and programs in the Vedic astrology, as well as the use of this course and the books and all of that. And I came also closely in touch with Dr. B.V. Raman and the Indian Council of Astrological Sciences at this time. Starting in 1992, I became a special student of Dr. Raman, who organized a number of programs and talks for me in India and also initiated me in special Vedic astrological mantras and practices. And I remained close to him over the many years, up into his passing away in the late 1990s. So this course then was my way of helping students throughout the world learn the Vedic astrology and connect with it. Because of my special connections with Ayurveda, on which I have many other books and courses. I then wrote the book Ayurvedic Astrology, starting in 2005, which expanded the medical astrology dimension of the course, and gave the course a twofold orientation. One, teaching the fundamentals of Jyotish or Vedic astrology, and two, teaching the fundamentals of Ayurvedic astrology or Vedic medical astrology. There are a number of programs that teach Vedic astrology fundamentals, but there are very few that teach the fundamentals of Ayurveda along with them. So this means this astrology of the Seer's course, which I originally called it, or later became the Ayurvedic astrology course, is the oldest distance learning course in Vedic astrology in the West and in an English idiom. And it precedes the books and courses that have come later, but it has also continued to develop and change and be augmented over time. Now we have new online versions of the course, and we continue to add new material and other aspects, other knowledge to it. Now, our approach to Vedic astrology is, we might say, spiritual and therapeutic, not simply predictive. Predictive model of Vedic astrology can be useful, but life is not so easily predicted. What we do find is that it is easy to see trends in Vedic astrology, particularly through the birth chart and the dashas, but timing of specific events is not so easy and is not always what we are really seeking to do. So in our model, the true role of a Vedic astrologer is of a karmic counselor, a Vedic counselor, and someone who can help guide us in our lives through the unfoldment of our karma as our karmic potentials are shown in the birth chart and its unfoldment over time through the dashas, the planetary periods, the gocharas and transits, and also the varshapal or the annual chart. So this requires to be a Vedic astrological counselor, that you follow a Vedic life, that you have a sadhana, that you do certain mantras and meditations, and that you understand and honor the corpus of Vedic knowledge and Vedic astrology. Specifically, we have emphasized the Ayurvedic aspect, Ayurveda being the Vedic healing system for body and mind, extending into yoga, which is the Vedic path of self-realization. So we have also brought into the books and the courses how to determine doshic types, the Ayurvedic constitutional types of Vata, Pitta, and Kapha through the birth chart, basic disease potentials, unfoldment of over the disease and health over time, and not only physical health, but also mental health, psychological indicators in the chart and how they affect us in various ways. And along with this, also the role of the upayas, or the Vedic astrological treatment or therapy measures, in which we devote a great deal of time and information to the use of gems. Although we must say gems cannot be used mechanically, they also need to be empowered with mantras and right intentions in order to work best. And we've also outlined, particularly in the second part of the course, these upayas, and even more specifically the use of mantras and deities relative to that. But besides the basic information, this is a very detailed, advanced, in some ways, and in-depth, comprehensive course. And so in the third part of the course, it goes into much depth into the nakshatras, which have not been very well understood in the Western world. And it brings in special of my Vedic research, like the shaktis of the nakshatras, fruits of the nakshatras, special knowledge that I brought back through my study of the Vedas that you do not find originally in other books or even in the older classics of Jyotish. I had to go all the way back to the Taittiriya Brahmana, a very ancient Vedic text where I happened to discover that material in going over that. And then we have also looked into factors like the Ashtaka Varga and other special ways of chart interpretation. The course also has a special workbook apart from the three volumes that is more specifically at a practical level of examining charts, looking at charts, combinations, and various specialty aspects like referred houses that come out through deeper chart examination. At the same time, going back to our idea of Vedic astrology as counseling, we don't believe there is any mechanical system for interpreting the chart. Mechanical methods, as I like to say, are useful only one-third. They help us give you a starting point, whether it is Shadbala, whether it is the Kuta system, or any other system anyone else has devised, because one, we are not mechanical, and two, life is not mechanical. We are not machines, so we are not totally predictable. So a Vedic astrologer is someone who helps knows the energies. Like in Ayurveda, we have Vata, Pitta, and Kapha doshas, which become nine doshic types relative to the nine planets that we discuss. And so from our counseling model, we can help guide the client as to how to understand the energies in their lives, energies as indicated by planets, signs, houses, lagna or ascendant, moon sign, nakshatras, or background and factors of elements, gunas, and doshas. So that is our broader view. And it's also a view that brings you into a different relationship with the client. One of my big complaints about Vedic astrology in the West, and even to some extent in India, is it's tied too much to the one reading model. You go to a Vedic astrologer and one reading, which lasts anywhere from 1 to 2 hours, you're supposed to get everything possible from them, so you don't need to go back to them again. If you need to understand more about Vedic astrology, you end up going to another Vedic astrologer for the same basic reading. That is a misuse or a limited use of astrology. The Vedic astrologer as a counselor, like an Ayurvedic doctor, you don't just go to them once. Similarly to any guide counselor in life. So a true Vedic astrologer can have and should have a long-term consultancy relationships with individuals, clients of various types, including families and even groups and businesses. And the horizon for working with a person is not just the birth chart, it's also the divisional chart, nakshatras, special domains of life. We have dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and arogya, or health for body and mind. We can't necessarily address these all in an instant. There's change of dashas, yearly charts, special transit factors. So if you really understand Vedic astrology, then you will also, or should be also, able to motivate or inspire your client to have a long-term relationship with you in terms of this life guidance. And at the same time, we always teach an integral approach to Vedic knowledge. In the course, it's mainly Ayurveda and Vedic astrology, but to some extent Ayurveda yoga and Vedic astrology, and Ayurveda and all the other yogic values, such as we discuss in our new book and course relative to the Vedic counseling. So in that context, the Vedic astrologer can address any domain of life, whether it is work and finances, physical or psychological health, relationship, career, spirituality. Not that the astrologer can necessarily show everything or guide the person in all aspects, but they can at least present the foundational forces. So we always tell people the Vedic astrology birth chart is your most important document in life. It is even more important than your DNA. It is your karmic DNA, your samskaras, but we have to learn how to read that properly, just as the ordinary person cannot read their genetic code. You need a special type of scientist to do that. So too, the Vedic astrologer should be trained to read that karmic code. And at the same time, not reduce karma to fate or destiny, but rather to help the person understand their karma so that they can manage it and transcend it, whether it's through experiencing it, through right actions, through spiritual practices, or through remedial measures. So we believe that the Vedic astrology can help us optimize our karma. It doesn't help us escape our karma, and we shouldn't use it to avoid our karma or to avoid pain. We need to hold to our karmic responsibility in life. So the model of the Vedic astrologer we're putting forth is more comprehensive than what most Vedic astrology teaches, and it is also more intuitive and more spiritual. We do believe you need to know the background in terms of planets, signs, houses, and aspects, but you cannot just read a chart through a computer or a compilation of yogas. You also need to know how to have a rapport and communicate directly with your client at a one-to-one basis. It's not just what you see in the chart that matters, but how you are able to share that and how you are able to get the client to understand that and implement that. So in other words, your goal as a Vedic teacher is to help establish people in a Vedic way of life and help them understand their Vedic clock, their karmic clock, which is the movement of their life from birth to death according to the cycles of karma at various different levels. So we don't emphasize being too, what I call, technique heavy. We know a number of astrologers today who know so many techniques but really can't communicate very well with clients or find out what is really going on in the person's life. Techniques are tools of access. Vedic astrology has many of them, but often simple teachings and words of wisdom are more transformative. And here we also need to understand the limitations of what we are doing. In a 1 to 2 hour Vedic astrology reading, we can't employ every possible subtle techniques. It's always important to make sure the birth time is correct or rectified. Even in ordinary birth times, it is not guaranteed to us that the Navamsha Lagna, the ascendant in the Navamsha, is correct, or the ascendant and other divisional charts. So we can't just simply jump into various predictions and ascertainments based upon data that we do not have. And we do need to help the person understand the astrological energetics of their lives, just as people need to understand the doshic energetics of their lives, because Ayurveda and Vedic astrology are about self-healing and self-guidance and connecting us to our inner truth. The outer teacher and therapist is there to guide us within, not to substitute for our own knowing. So putting people in touch with an understanding of their own karma and a taking of karmic responsibility for their own lives. So in Vedic astrology, there are many computations and calculations. Fortunately, we have these wonderful software systems today so that we no longer have to do these by hand. When I began doing Vedic astrology back in the 70s, these didn't exist, and we had to calculate. Generally, we extrapolated from the Western chart positions by taking off the Ayanamsha, but even the Western chart positions, we had to calculate by hand with various ephemerises and algorithms and things like that. So we were more intimately involved with that, but also more limited as to the data that we had. But even this data, remember, there is a living being, a soul, an atma, or purusha, a real person behind that. So the data, like their clothes or like their features or how they comb their hair and other things, is indicating something deeper. So we use the techniques and the computations to look deeper. At the same time, we don't look at the Vedic astrologer as simply a psychic who simply looks at a person's face and begins making predictions. That such people do exist. Again, they are psychics, but they are not necessarily Vedic astrologers. So a Vedic astrologer has an intuitive knowledge, but should always be able to connect that to actual factors within the chart. And the difficulty in reading a chart is, of course, that planetary influences exist at various levels and at various times and in various ways. For example, the fourth house is the mother, fourth house is the home, the fourth house is the vehicle, the fourth house is the heart, the fourth house is the emotional nature. How do you read these different factors? There are, of course, different planetary significators. There are different aspects and different rulers that relate to that. But much of the art of Vedic astrology is getting into that right level of examination. And in that regard, we usually look at the indications of the charts via the planets, signs, and houses is first of all from the level of the physical body, secondly from the level of psychology, and third from spirituality, and fourth from the outer life. For example, in the outer life, the fifth house is the house of children. It's also then the house of punya, or past life positive karma. It's also the house of buddhi, or higher intelligence, including creative intelligence, and also teaching, writing, counseling, speculation, advice, and so forth. So we have to learn how to blend all these factors together. And at the same time, we don't learn this all at once. In our interaction with the client, more and more comes out. So the more often we give readings to the same person, the more often we study a particular chart, the more that we learn. So Vedic astrology is an art and a science, an intuitive as well as a predictive or computation-based system. It requires a lot of study. You should try to look at as many charts as you can. And it's going to require some years for everything to unfold. But we have tried to, in this course, give you the depth and the references so that you do have a good foundation both for understanding Vedic astrology overall and also for the specifics of the Ayurvedic astrology and the upayas and the remedial measures and also some of these deeper aspects of these nakshatras. So please be patient. Study these factors in depth. Augment your course study with books of charts of famous people, or you can even find these on the internet. Make sure you have good software for calculating charts. Begin to look at the astrological influences present every day. We do touch upon mundane or world astrology and the indications that are happening in different countries based upon their Vedic astrological New Year's charts, and so forth. So in other words, gradually immerse yourself in Vedic astrology bit by bit. Be patient. Take your time. Recognize it takes time. Recognize there are many sides to a person's life, many levels and layers of our own being, from the physical to the sensory, emotional, spiritual, and all the rest of it. And that there are always mysteries out there. And with Vedic astrology, we want to help people unfold their deeper and higher potentials, not just simply reveal to them their difficulties. Because even though we have many difficulties in life, we also have the inner potential to overcome all difficulties. And in the end, we must recommend and recognize that our true self, our Atma or Purusha is beyond time, space, or karma, is the witness of that. So we should not subordinate people to the chart, but help them use the chart in a creative and intelligent way to maximize their life potentials. So that, in a few words, is an overview of what the course presents, the philosophy behind it, a little bit of my own background, and what we hope to inspire you to do. Vedic astrology has such much tremendous depths and can be used on so many different levels. It is one of the ideal and best professions, I believe, to follow, but it must be followed along with deep spirituality. Otherwise, if we use these spiritual and occult forces for simply mundane ends or to help people fulfill their worldly desires, there are often sometimes negative karmic ramifications that come back upon us, and our own spiritual unfoldment may be in some way reduced. So please respect this knowledge, please understand its power, and make sure to honor the great gurus, make sure to honor the planetary deities, make sure to follow a Vedic life, and to look upon your practice as karma yoga in terms of action and service, bhakti yoga as devotion to the cosmic powers of consciousness, and jnana yoga as a way of self-knowledge. Then your practice of Vedic astrology will always be fruitful and helpful both for you and others and for the inner self, the inner being of all. A namaste, Sri Guru Bhyo Namaha.